So we're gonna have to, never mind. We'll talk about that.
So that was our BOA. What's our next number?
Four.
20-04.
Let the record show that Commissioner Hart has rejoined the commission. The next item is the Tyhurst Zone Change Z-20-04 and tentative parcel map TPM-20-04. Staff report, please.
Rachel Durham, Senior Planner. Josh Tyhurst is requesting approval of a zone change from industrial, commercial, and agricultural districts to commercial and rural residential districts. Additionally, Mr. Tyhurst is requesting approval of a vesting tentative parcel map to create four new parcels and a remainder from the same 42.6 acre parcel that is the subject of the proposed zone change. The project site is within the unincorporated community of McLeod, west of the intersection of Highway 89 and Timber Country Ranch Road. During preliminary project review, state and local agencies were contacted about this project. As a result of those comments, a biological and wetland delineation survey were performed in the spring of 2021. No special status species or their habitat were found on the property during the survey. The wetland delineation determined that Squaw Valley Creek runs 361 feet along a portion of the western edge of the property and measured between 12 to 15 feet wide. Although an existing 50-foot buffer exists that is measured from the center line of this portion of the creek, due to comments from Fish and Wildlife, staff is recommending that the buffer be expanded by measuring from the top of the bank or outside edge of riparian vegetation, whichever is greater. Subsequent to the staff report being written, CAL FIRE commented on specific 4290 requirements for an expanded road easement and turnaround shown on the east side of proposed parcels B and C. The surveyor for this project discussed the adequacy of the proposed easement with CAL FIRE and was able to determine that no expansion of the easement would be required in order to meet the 4290 standards. And that's, to clarify, that's no expansion of the easements that's shown on the proposed map already. As part of the project, the applicant proposes the name of the road, Red Cloud Ranch Road, with an alternate proposed name of Red Cloud Road. No other new comments have been received about this project. The project is consistent with the Subdivision Map Act, general plan, and zoning for its area, should the rezone portion of the project be approved. Because there is no substantial evidence that the proposed zone change and tentative parcel map may have a significant effect on the environment, staff is recommending that this project be found exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15061B3, the common sense exemption. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission conditionally approve the tentative parcel map portion of the project and recommends that the Board of Supervisors determine the project categorically exempt and approve the zone change. There is a suggested motion in the packet. Thank you.
Any questions from staff at this time? Seeing none, I will open the public hearing.
If you would like to speak on this item, please raise your hand by pressing star 9. Seeing none.
At this time, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission.
Complicated running through the tweaks. I'll let you three go before I.
Well, I agree with you, but it's extensive.
Yes. I had to read this three or four times.
I'm trying not to be hateful here. Go ahead.
Well, I spoke first on the last three, I'm taking a back seat to see what you all discerned out of this spider web.
Just knowing what I as a landowner.
Make sure you get up.
Yeah, pull the mic down, please.
Comply with water regulations, environmental regulations.
I'm sorry, can you speak up? I can't hear you.
Pardon me?
Yes, exactly. She can't hear you. Use the mic.
See these right here? Uh-huh. You need some of those.
See these? I They're have not, them.
Have Still you got an iPhone? Help. Have you got them turned up like
they
I do?
Do.
So, I'm looking at everything that has been written here. Our regional water quality control by Cal Fish and Wildlife. And I'm using the word wildlife in a very loose term here because it seems to apply to certain things and certain things they seem to ignore. Both regional water quality control and the State Water Resources Control Board. I wish these state agencies would be firm, fair, and consistent. Because to me, they are not. I don't even know where I really want to get mad and start railing at this. They would probably do absolutely nothing, so I'm just going to be quiet. There we go, how I feel about some of this stuff.
So what did precisely, give us an example of what the concern?
Some of the stuff they place in here, where I look at what these agencies do, and I'm almost to the point where I would like to rename the California Department of Fish and Wildlife to the California Department of Fish Manufacturing. That's what they're doing on
fish problem what? Perpetuation.
Whatever you want to call it. When I see the level of scrutiny and the concern about water and fish as opposed to other wildlife species and the lack of concern, it was displayed at the Board of Supervisors meeting a week ago by a representative, the Deputy Director of the State Water Resources Control Board, over a fully protected species. Absolutely no concern. So, I'm just baffled by it, that's all. I'm just going to be quiet.
Okay, I'm Dusty, go ahead.
No, I'm okay. I know. That's the rest.
All right, so in the intro, this is what I'm trying to wrap my mind around. In the discussion we've got two tables. Page 5, we're talking about, table 1 says proposed parcel size and resultant zoning. And if we add those up,
resultant acres.
It says and resultant zoning, and then it's the right column is resultant parcel size in acres. If we add those up, comes up to 42.6 total acres. Then we go down to table 2 on page 6. And we have a table, proposed zone changes by parcel, and it's talking about acres rezoned. And in this table, we're dealing with 20.1 acres. So, I get that we're only dealing with portions of each of the original parcels. What is the total of each parcel size going to be after this? That there's an additional 22.5 acres sitting out there that is going to be zoned something, and I get that we are now going to have 4 RRs and 1 CU. Up in table 1, we have 3 RRs, 1 commercial, and non-prime ag. So am I to assume what? Those other 22 2.5 acres. Which parcels are those going into? Because I did not see a subsequent table 3 that had what those total acres are for each of the parcels under their newly proposed zones.
Okay, so let's start with the table on page 6, which is table 2, the proposed zone changes by parcel. So right now, let's start from the top with proposed parcel A. It's currently zoned for both CC and ML uses, so it has both commercial and industrial. So what they're proposing for that parcel is they're proposing to get rid of all of the industrial zoning on that parcel and make it 100% commercial. So there is currently 5.8 acres approximately that are zoned industrial, and your ultimate parcel size is what's shown on page 5, table 1. So parcel A is going to be 16.5 total, and all of it is going to be commercially zoned. So it got rid of all of the industrial and switched it all to commercial. So that's one parcel that's...
Okay, so currently there's only 5.8 as commercial, and when this is done, if we approve it, it's going to go from 5.8 to 16.5?
It's actually the reverse. Right now, currently, there's 5.8 acres that are industrial that are going to commercial. So approximately 11 acres, just off the top of my head, are already commercial out of the resultant 16-acre parcel that they're proposing. So it's going from industrial to commercial on table 2 on page 6.
Okay, so let me ask this again, and we're just... Just focus on A right now.
Okay.
Currently, there is 5.8 acres. There are 5.8 acres that are industrial.
Correct.
If we approve this, it's going to go from 5.8 commercial or industrial to 16.5 commercial.
So right now it's all one parcel, but yes.
It's not all one parcel.
Currently right now, this is one legal parcel that they're proposing to divide into four parcels plus a remainder. So we have the zone change, which is proposing to take that industrial to commercial, but that's not the only parcel that's
okay,
already...
Okay, back up here a second, because I didn't... In this, you're telling me right now we have one parcel. And what is its current designation? The whole thing you're saying is industrial?
No. It's actually currently zoned right now for industrial, commercial, and non-prime agricultural uses.
On one parcel?
On one parcel. Yes.
Okay, that's where the confusion came in, because I've never seen where you can have one parcel
with all these different zones
carry multiple zonings. That's what got me from the get-go.
We have split zoning quite regularly, but usually it's more towards things like non-prime and prime ag. This is an unusual parcel in that it has industrial, commercial, and non-prime ag. So I understand that there's confusion because it's unusual for...
Okay, so total acres of the parcel, does it equal 42.6 acres?
Correct.
That is the total parcel size. This is where the horse... stables and whatnot, where I used
the
to deliver stables, hay there.
The horse stables are on a separate legal parcel that's not part of this project, but it's surrounded by this legal parcel, yes.
So even though it's in the center of this, that's not part of this?
So it has a very small road that connects to the highway on the north side of that horse parcel.
You mean on the east side?
No, the north side of the horse parcel.
That's 89. Is to the
north. So 89, I apologize, I misspoke. So 89 connects to the horse parcel, and then the parcel that's the subject of this project is kind of a U-shape around it.
Okay, so we're dealing with a total of 42.6 acres. It has multiple zoning.
Yes.
It's one parcel.
Yes.
We're taking that one parcel that has multiple zones, and we're creating little lines to create parcel zone compatibility.
Right now, they actually could split it without rezoning it, and it would meet the parcel size requirements for the zoning districts that are existing. It's just the use that they are proposing to, I can't say that they have a use that's proposed. They are wanting to rezone it, and I believe the ultimate goal is to sell off the parcels. And it's thought to be more marketable to sell them if they're residential, since the commercial and industrial uses have not been developed on that property.
Okay, so now that you've explained we are dealing with one parcel with multiple overlays on A, currently, there are a certain number of acres that are industrial.
Yes.
How many acres is that?
5.8.
Okay, so that's the 5.8, and that's what's being proposed to change 5.8 industrial to a total of 16.5 commercial.
So proposed parcel A is already currently split zoned for commercial and industrial uses. They are not proposing to change the commercial.
They're
district.
Adding on. They're eliminating industrial. They're increasing the size of the commercial.
Correct.
Okay.
So the entire proposed parcel A, should this be approved?
So there's 9.7 sitting out there that's currently commercial. We're adding 5.6 to get 16.5.
Somewhere around there, yes.
Okay.
I'll trust your math on that.
All right, so that one, parcel A, proposed parcel A, I'm clear on that. Then, if we take that 16.5 that is now commercial, then we are left with 26.1 that we're going to play with for parcels B, C, and D. And B, C, and D currently are a mix. This is where the confusion continues. You have it currently commercial and non-prime ag. And the proposal is to take that and zone change it to all rural residential.
So it would probably help if we went through it proposed parcel by proposed parcel, because some things aren't the same across the parcels. So I would prefer if I could explain it to parcel by parcel. So since we already did parcel A.
A I'm good with. That makes sense.
Okay, so proposed parcel B, currently it's 100% zoned for neighborhood commercial uses, which is the CU. And they're proposing to take all of those 3 acres that are currently zoned for commercial uses and rezone them to rural residential uses. So you can see that the acres rezoned on table 2 for proposed parcel B is 3 acres, which matches what is the proposed parcel size and resultant zoning on table 1.
That's a 1-to-1, simply changing the zoning.
Yep.
No problem. Okay.
Okay. Proposed parcel C is a little bit more difficult because it's split zoned currently. And it's split zoned for commercial and for non-prime agricultural uses. So they are proposing to take the 2.8 acres that is currently commercially zoned on that proposed parcel and turn it into rural residential. And then there is currently 1.9 acres of non-prime agricultural that they're proposing to be rural residential. So both of those are all on proposed parcel C, which ultimately ends up with 4.7 acres for the resultant parcel size.
Okay, so we've got a problem here then, though, because I went the wrong way. Okay, so 4.7 to 4.7. So we're taking two splits down to one consistent, 2.8, 1.9, that equals 4.7. We're good there.
Okay, and then proposed parcel D is currently 100% zoned for non-prime agricultural uses, and they are proposing to make it 100% rural residential. And that is 6.6 acres, which matches proposed parcel D on both table one and table two, because the whole parcel is being rezoned as part of this project.
We're good there.
The remainder parcel is currently zoned for non-prime agricultural uses, and they are not proposing to rezone the remainder parcel as part of this project at all. That one
okay.
is not being rezoned.
All right.
So we have one parcel that is an overlay of multiple zonings. Well, basically, it's a non-conforming parcel based on zoning, basically.
Right now?
Yes, currently.
No, I don't believe it is.
So it's common to have a parcel with multiple zones?
We have quite a few of those in our county.
Okay.
But like I said, usually they're the prime and non-prime zoning districts, not industrial and commercial.
All right. I thank you for the clarification, because I was looking at this and my brain cells were starting to smoke because it did not make sense. But
yeah, so
your explanation makes sense now.
Right.
Okay.
So if you look at page four, there's the zoning map, and that zoning map actually has a color-coded existing
yes.
zoning. And you can see in the center that's the horse. The horse property.
I see that, and
it's not part of this
because
project.
Of my eyesight, I probably didn't zoom in close enough. I didn't realize that the blue lines, there was a gap in between, as in ingress egress to the center. I thought it was another blip, like further east.
No.
Okay, and I thought that horse deal was part of this project.
No,
okay.
That is not part of this project.
All right, that eliminates the next question I had. The only other comment I have is I will agree with the comments made by fellow Commissioner Hart in that the inconsistency of application of environmental law, investigation, and application of codes by state agencies is deplorable. And they should be ashamed. I'm saying that to be on the record, looking at this project with what we're dealing with right now in the ag community is a semi-truck and trailer full of fecal material. To bring out my Robert Kennedy side, it's despicable. I'm not gonna hold it against the project proponent, but it's despicable.
Just as an example, on page 21, there's isolated wetlands and other waters not covered by the Federal Clean Water Act.
Page 21?
At this
21.
Point, page 21. Because the Biden administration is revisiting the Clean Water Act and what applies and what doesn't apply. What the last administration did. It says here, some wetlands and other waters are considered geographically isolated and navigable waters and are not within the jurisdiction of the Clean Water Act. Isolated wetlands, vernal pools, stream banks, above the ordinary high water mark, discharge or dredge or fill material, these waters may require individual general waste discharge permits. When I look at when regional water quality control comes out, they put this language. I've got a problem with language. But what I have a problem with is when you have regional water quality control, they put down TMDLs. You have a state water board come in and put down an emergency ordinance, not ordinance, regulation, considering water diversions, groundwater pumping for a protected species. When they come right out in the groundwater management plan, both the Shasta and the Scott, CDFW staff puts right in there that groundwater dependent ecosystems need to be protected for bank swallows, yellow flycatchers, western pond turtle, yellow legged frogs, sandhill cranes. Those are endangered species. Two of them are fully protected. And yet, when they turn around what they do to the ag community and say, we're going to take all the water, we don't care about these wetlands over here, but we come back with a project here, and now we're demanding that anytime someone who's created these lots, if they want to go do something on that property, they put all these requirements in there. It just absolutely baffles me, the double standard that these agencies and staff people, how they make their interpretations and doing stuff. It's just my heart burned a little. I'm sure everybody in the ag department, ag field, know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know how you as staff can rectify all that when you have projects put in front of you like that. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because at the end of the meeting, there's another little zoning issue I would like to talk about, and that's the Scott Valley Area Plan, under staff comments and commission comments. And there's a very big impact coming to that. And so that may be thrust upon this department to deal with.
So, question for staff, since we're in our, I won't say it.
Let's go on with this project.
Yeah, so
let's get this done.
On page 23, this is my question for staff. The cannabis supervisor who replied to this and made these comments, which I find intriguing that this went to the cannabis department. If you look at the signature, Mr. Adam, that's his title. On page 23, under biological resources, he says it is unclear whether or not sensitive natural communities exist on the project site. So he's admitting that he doesn't have a clue. Did he contact staff or the project proponent to come have a biologist do a visit to the site so it is not unclear to him?
Yeah, we did have a bio survey and wetland delineation for this project. That was why it's been a year or more since this comment has been made.
Okay, and so was there a subsequent follow-up comment from the department now that he is clear? Because I did not see a follow-up stating that Mr. Cannabis Director was clear.
So I believe that the reason he commented on this project, it was due to some staffing issues at Fish and Wildlife at the time. Our normal commenter, Kristen Hubbard, has been in and out over the past year, and I believe this coincides with the time that he responded to this comment. But they did, I had Amy Henderson, she's also one of the Fish and Wildlife people that comments on the project occasionally. She did respond to the bio study, and that's actually on page 28.
Oh, I see.
And all she did was refer back to the original comment.
Because it was mentioned, could I ask a question? Why is interior cannabis and conservation planning the same department, in the same department? What's the?
I don't know.
It was created within the department to deal with illegal cannabis grows because the state felt that they did not have proper delineation of staffing to address the concerns in the communities regarding illegal marijuana grows. Basically. Yep.
Not just the Mr. Sergeant.
Yep.
No wildlife law.
Okay, I will. Ouch. I'll show.
If there's no further comments, I would like to entertain a motion, sir. Sirs.
I do have one additional, just for clarity, because the comments that we're waiting for us here on the desk from Mr. Pisano, regarding road width and turnarounds, isn't that related to this one?
They are related to this project.
Okay, have those edits, adjustments been made?
They actually were determined to not be needed. The existing shown easement on the, currently there's already an easement where this road is proposed, but it's only 30 feet wide. The applicant is proposing to expand it to 40 feet wide and have a turnaround at the end of it where the remainder parcel and parcel D meet, I believe. So the question that CAL FIRE had was regarding that turnaround, whether or not it would be adequate. And the surveyor for this property spoke with CAL FIRE last week, and they determined that what they already have on the proposed parcel map is adequate for CAL FIRE requirements. And the, so the proposed map does not need to be adjusted at this time.
Okay, thank you. I'm not making this one. I've done the last couple.
You aren't saying anything?
It all was said. I totally agree with you about irregularities on the same issue. I mean, which one's right, which one's wrong? Which one do we have to adhere to? Which one don't we have to adhere to? And that may be a little bit confusing in what I'm saying, but I'm tired of it too.
Yeah.
But it's been going on forever. And it's just getting worse.
Lack of consistency in applying regulation.
You read one sentence, and it contradicts the one above it and the one below it, but the one below the other one agrees with the one up here. It's crazy. And then we, and bless your hearts, staff, try to clarify this for me. I'll speak for myself here, because I read every page of these things. So, Mr. Hart, would you care to make a motion, sir?
Yes.
Thank you.
I move that we adopt Resolution DC 2021-025, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, conditionally approving the Pinehurst vested 10-day parcel map, TPM-20-04, and recommending the Board of Supervisors determine the project exempt from CEQA and approve the Tyhurst zone change, Z-20-04, by adopting the draft ordinance rezoning 20.1 acres, APM 049-062-500, from M-L to C-U, 5.8 acres, C-U to RR, 5.8 acres, and AG-2 to RR, 8.5 acres.
Is there a second?
Okay, I will second it, but I have one additional question for staff. Okay. This is going to be zone change on the parcels, but we are not creating, trying to think how to phrase this accurately. If this vote passes and the zone changes are applied, it will still be one parcel with multiple zones. Because I do not see within the motion where we are creating individual parcels with boundary lines. That's my question for clarification. If this is one parcel and we're trying to clean it up, why is there not something in the motion establishing boundary lines between the parcels?
So the suggested motion states conditionally approving the Tyhurst vesting tentative parcel map. So that conditionally approving it creates those parcels should the Board of Supervisors approve the zone change and the CEQA exemption.
The map will create the parcels.
You already have lines with the existing zone.
We have existing lines for zoning, but this is one legal parcel that we're proposing.
Well, I understand that, but are they legally defined? All surveyed, you know where those lines are at.
Right, so the adoption or the recording of the final map, once this project is totally done, is what legally creates those parcels.
Okay, because I guess I'm...
You're looking for a tentative subdivision map, that's what you're looking for.
Well, I'm not sure...
But somewhere down the road,
yeah,
something
I'm not sure
like
if
that's
going to be
happen.
That, or if we have... I have not, in my long time on here, dealt with this type of a project where we have you all have in your hands an outline of the zones within a parcel without boundary lines. Now, they're written down and they're drawn on a map, but it's odd because we are now taking bits and pieces from each of these zones, changing zones, adding and subtracting in some cases, but we don't have a boundary line adjustment as part of this, is what I'm saying. And I guess part of that has to do with the fact it's one parcel. And that's my question. Is it staying one parcel? And if it's not staying one parcel, then why aren't we seeing a BLA, or is it not applicable because they didn't exist before?
So we, so with zoning...
Zoning line versus boundary line.
So with zoning, we have official zoning maps showing all of the zoning in the county. Those individual areas, little pockets of zoning, do not have a legal description anywhere.
Right.
Unless there's something like this where it says resultant parcel, you know, B is going to be zoned for RR uses. So then you can go to what the legal description of resultant parcel B is and say, this is RR because we know that it's all of this parcel and this is the legal description of that parcel. But the county as a whole does not have an overall legal description for all of our zoning areas defined. All we have is an official adopted map, and our maps, actually, we have several hundred of them that are kept in our office back in the planning department. So those are the legal maps showing and defining the areas.
Is it the incompatibility that bothers you?
No. But, and I get what you just said, I guess, what's causing my question is we're going from essentially a parcel, and within the entire discussion, the result is a parcel A, B, C, D, and a remainder.
Correct.
Which tells me we're going from 1 to 5.
It's 4 plus a remainder.
1 plus.
Okay, but we're going from 1 to 4 plus a remainder.
Right.
Which typically we have clearly defined boundaries that are part of a motion, and we don't have that in this case.
So the clearly defined boundaries are on the map that's part of this project. So that's why the motion says conditionally approving the Tyhurst vesting tentative parcel map, because that's what you're approving, which shows the boundaries. This is the same motion that we do every time we, other than if it's a zone change and a parcel map, this is the same motion that we do every single time we have that project.
For an example, on the CalMish, MishCal, that we just did, boundary line adjustment, we moved acres. In this, we're shifting acres and zoning, but we are not talking about a boundary line adjustment because we're dealing with one parcel delineated out into subparcel A, B, C, D, and remainder.
Right. So the difference between a boundary line adjustment and a tentative parcel map is that a boundary line adjustment does not create an additional number of parcels. You're just rearranging the boundaries. For this particular project, we're creating 4 new parcels, and then we'll have that remainder, which are defined and described on the vesting tentative parcel map that you're conditionally approving as part of this motion.
I just want to make sure we're doing this right, because this whole project here was mind-blowing. Okay, I'm good.
It keeps the brain cells active, sir.
Oh, this one did.
Okay.
This one woke me up out of deep sleep, thinking, and I had to go back and read it here a few nights ago. Did that really say what I thought it said? So, okay. All right.
Okay, roll call vote. Yeah.
Commissioner Hart?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowle?
Aye.
Commissioner Veal?
Yes.
Chair Mello?
Yes. Motion carries. Items for discussion or direction.
We're back to the agenda.
Yes. The next future regular meeting of Siskiyou County Planning Commission scheduled on Wednesday, December 15, 2021 at 9 a.m. Correspondence. Staff comments. Commission comments.
Hold on. Oh. Mr. Dean here's lips were moving, but I didn't hear sound. It was like he was trying to decide if he wanted to speak or not.
Exactly correct.
This is a general comment. We'll be coming back with SMARA next meeting. I would just like to say that it's important that we get this moved forward in some fashion because it's a hindrance to the county and to our department in general. And just generally speaking, these are state regulations that we cannot make any more liberal. We can make them more defined, more conservative, so to speak. So by adopting the SMARTA regulations as they are, there's a minimum we can do, basically. So we'll have further conversation about that. I just want to let you know we had a conversation with the DMR about your issues and so forth. So trying to get
DMR
to
is
the Department of Mining and Reclamation. Yeah.
Reclamation.
So I just want to put that out there in general. We'll be coming to you next month trying to move that forward.
Anyone else from staff? Commission comments? Mr. Hart, I believe you had a comment.
Yeah. With the curtailment orders that are put in place under this emergency ordinance.
I can't hear you.
Curtailment orders that have been put in place.
Emergency water shut off. Yeah. All of agriculture and those shafts in Wisconsin. Period. That's supposed to end at the end of August next year. That doesn't mean it's gonna end.
Meaning, wait a minute, you mean they will, the emergency shut off?
They're in place through August.
Okay, so you can't turn pumps on until?
We have it hanging over our head.
Okay.
Yes.
But Shasta Valley didn't, was it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Both valleys.
They were irrigating.
Based on a study done by an engineering firm that a whole lot of people have tried to
get. Okay, go ahead.
I suspect that the State Water Board, if they have to continue it, they have to perform CEQA. And that's a long, drawn-out process. Mr. Ekdahl said right here for the Board of Supervisors, that all they cared about for the emergency situation was fish. As a resource agency in charge of protecting public trust resources, of which the county is. You have a legal right to protect public trust resources. If nobody in agriculture is going to make a living in either valley, not a rainfall, not going to happen. So therefore, if they continue this, which I think they are, and I think this is nothing more than an end run around both adjudications in both river systems, they can, if they choose to extend, then they're going to have to perform CEQA. They can let it stop, and when it's supposed to, then come back 2 weeks later and reinstitute another one. So therefore, how do the farmers and ranchers in Scott Valley, people in Scott Valley, go about redoing the Scott Valley area plan so that they can then get some economic relief out of selling those properties? What does that entail?
Very good question. So are you alluding to
taking
changing
all that
requirements on the existing
acreage and zoning in place? Zoning, what has to transpire to change that Scott Valley area plan that was put in, what, in 1978 or 80 or thereabouts, that restricted development to certain places to keep ag prominent?
Yeah.
That is now not the priority of the state of California. Fish production is. So if people don't have the ability to farm irrigated agriculture, what are you going to do with all that? Because you've got two big problems going on over there with Kidder Creek Orchard Camp coming. There's a big potential there. You've got the other issue with J.H. Ranch, which isn't a county issue anymore. That's been sent to Sacramento. Everybody wants a little piece of heaven, and Scott Valley is it. I'm just curious, the impact, how do you even begin to address that? Because I wouldn't be surprised to see that come down the road.
Yeah. I'll defer to council on that, but essentially it's like changing the general plan that we have with the county. The Sky Valley area plan is essentially a general plan for Sky Valley specifically. So they have the same process.
Does that still hold the case? Can this plan be separate from Siskiyou County general plan?
It's a part of it.
It's an addendum
to the general plan, so to change that.
And 1980 is correct, sir, because I have a copy of it.
Right, I've got it at home too. To change that, does that then go back to the people within that district for a go ahead, Jeff.
Public hearing.
So I asked this question of county council about 10 years ago, and the answer that was given, and it was from county council that I trusted, the process would mirror how it was created, where an advisory committee of residents of Scott Valley would be appointed to essentially go through the existing plan and make proposals for amendments, changes, corrections, additions, etc. There would be a draft that would go through public hearing process to clean it up if there were cleanup issues. And then it would go back, because if I believe when it was adopted, it was approved by a vote. It was not simply a vote of the supervisors. It was a vote of the residents of Scott Valley. And so it would then go to a vote for approval of the residents of Scott Valley to make the amendments, is how it was explained to me 8-10 years ago.
But you would have to go through a whole environmental analysis.
Today, yes. There would be significant cost and research, data collection, and analysis, which is not a quick process.
So who would pay for that? Would that come from
That's the question.
County? Because the general
that question
plan
I didn't
has never
ask.
Been updated. And when I first came on the Planning Commission, the director of the planning department tried to get the board supervisors to redo that. At that time, it was a $5 million bill. I don't know what it would be today.
That was under Barnum.
That's correct.
Yep.
And I guess yesterday, the board supervisors agreed to redraw some district lines. And so one supervisor is now out, so that means there's going to be somebody new. I'm looking at what's going on out in Mount Shasta Vista subdivision, and I'm concerned what's going to happen come election time because of the number of residents out there. Same thing within my district. I see.
Isn't that the same? Your district?
No. No.
In Shasta?
No.
Who's this district is that one in?
Cops. Got it on out. So I see a. What do I want to call it? A shift in focus coming in this county away from agriculture. Because of what the state's doing, because of what we have out there right now. And elections matter. So I see compositions of boards and stuff changing. Where all of a sudden you're going to have a whole different focus on your workload. Maybe I'm just sounding an alarm, but I'm just being very pragmatic and realistic about it, about how to deal with all of this. Particularly when I see the stuff that comes out here from these state agencies. I am absolutely baffled by it. Last month, the board supervisors reversed the decision of this planning commission based on advice from county council. And when I was told about it by a supervisor, I was absolutely baffled, because his comment to me was, if we don't reverse the planning commission's decision, the project proponent is going to sue the county and they're going to win.
What was the
rock concert with the Molder Creek? That's absolutely
for the record, I don't know anybody who said that from our office, including.
Well, I'm just telling what a supervisor told me, and I don't know whether it's true or not. But I find it odd, and that's why I made the comment when I came in earlier about, as a planning commission, we're supposed to look at all of this environmental stuff, trying to make head or tails out of all the rules that are in place. And goodness knows, I know what I've been through personally, both federal and state. I know what Mr. Fowle's gone through personally and state. The scrutiny that gets put on agricultural producers as opposed to all the other citizens is just absolutely phenomenal and baffling to me how this works. I'm looking for an answer as to why it seems to be going in every which direction, and it makes no sense to me. Especially in the last 2.5 months, I have been chasing a pack of 9 wolves and a single wolf on my ranch here and in Deer Creek, in Alder Creek, in Antelope Creek. I've got them, I'm going up the road, they're going past cameras 20 minutes in front of me, and another one coming right behind me 20 minutes later. It's absolutely phenomenal. And Cal Fish and Wildlife says, well, they're there, you're stuck with them, you gotta deal with them. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm losing all faith in process.
I've got a question. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's appropriate this time. At one time, if you could prove that a wolf killed one of your livestock, that you would be reimbursed for that, is that?
Not yet.
They're working on it.
They're working on it, but as of now, whatever's still, lost now.
Still hasn't come. This has been
right.
5-6 years ago, maybe longer, when they first started to.
Right, just in the last 3 weeks, I've had 2 depredations from 103. Got a neighbor across the way, he's had 5. Another neighbor's had 2, and then 2 other neighbors have each had 1. So there's a whole handful of livestock in the last 3 weeks from 1 wolf. Because he's a man-made problem.
Yeah.
He was caught in a leg hole trap by Oregon Wildlife Services, collar put on him, turned loose, injured. So now he can't go chase his prey. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. That's why I'm questioning, why do we even have a planning commission anymore? What are we doing here? When we're tasked with following all the rules and regulations that are in place under CEQA, and yet I don't see that standard being applied equally across the board. I know you're sitting there with both of you with a befuddled look, like, what the heck is Commissioner Hart talking about?
And I guess before you respond, I want to add in the decision that the supervisors made on that project on Mount Shasta when they overturned our recommendation chapped my hide significantly. Because we did due diligence coming up with the findings for denying. Specifically for public health and safety. And the only other time where the supervisors in this planning commission, in my decade plus time on this commission, when the supervisors had new information, they sent it back to us to re-look at it with the new information to see if we found reason to change our original findings and move the project on, or stand with our original findings and continue to deny and then send it to them. And they have always supported us, always. There has never, in my time on this commission, been a rejection of one of our project decisions. And this one was about enough to make me leave this damn commission.
Well, could it be the fact that the damage has been done and they could go up there now and there's nothing to burn?
Then send it back to us and let us see the data and make that decision.
I'm saying the fire had gone through there.
No, it hasn't. It
went through the bottom side of it. It did not hit that portion.
No.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm with Blair. What good is there having a planning commission?
Because I agree with you. I
lived with Cal Fire for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I lived with Forest Service. making trips to the incident center in McDowell. Forest Service plan, what they call the big box approach to fight a fire. They back up anywhere from 5 to 8 miles, build a fire line, and burn back through it. They wanted to burn up 600-year-old Lake Sorrel Forest on us to put that fire out. And it took a chore to get it stopped. But
They put some new conditions on that before they approved it. What were the new conditions?
I don't know what happened. I don't understand. My complaint is
they overturned that with new conditions.
We're all over the board. I'm doing stuff.
There were new conditions added, yes.
Will we get to see those?
No.
It's all proven done.
That's the thing. It's the process.
It's the process.
The process got messed up big time on that one.
So.
We deal with the law, black and white, right, wrong, legal, illegal. Supervisors deal with politics.
Sure. Did you ask your supervisor why you did it?
I was too damn mad to call, and I believe my supervisor was the only supervisor who voted against.
I do believe you're correct.
Ray was opposed to it, so it doesn't do any good for me to talk to Ray. In fact, I know he was the one who voted with us.
Supervisor Haupt was not present at the meeting.
That's right. He wasn't. Was COPSEF then the no?
The final vote was 4-0-4.
Oh, it was 4-0. Yes. Ray wasn't there. That's right. That's why I didn't call Ray. There was another project where Ray was a single vote.
Yes.
That was on Sigma. Now I'll be quiet on that one.
It's okay. Let it rip.
I've got another question unrelated to this, but okay.
My concern of process. You folks send stuff to the State Clearinghouse. Wait for a response back. The responses that come back from the agency, and you guys have nothing to do with that. You're just taking the information that they provide to you and incorporating that into the packet. As long as everybody's checked all the boxes and dotted the I's and crossed the T's, we're good. And I have no problem with that. What I'm having a problem with is there isn't a consistent across the board with all these projects of how they kind of come in and they favor some projects, they come back with some, they come with all these different restrictions, i.e. back under the McLeod project, disturbance of any kind of a street corner or whatever, requires a 1600. I'm the only one in Shasta Valley who's got 1600 for my diversion. That lawsuit took how long, Jeff? 4 years?
Yep.
5 years?
Yep.
Cost $800,000. Cal Fish and Game took Third District Court of Appeals and prevailed. I know of two springs out where I'm at. They're huge. All the water's diverted out of those springs. The department has now made a decision that those two diversions will not be required to have a 1600. Yet I do. On spring, of course, I. It's that
consistency
that I don't understand how that all happens. And are we supposed to call it out as a planning commission when we see that? Are we supposed to do their job and then lengthen the process? Or do we just take what you folks present us? That's what we've got, so that's what we've got passed.
No, I mean, you have concerns and staff should address those beyond whatever the state regulatory agencies may comment or not, or let pass or require. It's certainly appropriate. So it's kind of on a case-by-case basis judgment call.
Are we living in a, because we're a poor county, as you could call us, do we live in a state where we cower when somebody threatens a lawsuit, so we said, well, okay, it would be cheaper to, and I know there's a case out there that we all talk about, right? That we say, okay, we'll settle with you because we know we can't afford to take it to a higher level to appeal.
Well, in the 3 years I've done the Planning Commission, I have never seen a threat of a lawsuit once. I don't have any direct.
What's that?
In the 3 years I've done this planning commission, I don't think I've ever seen a direct threat of lawsuit once. And at least as far as the planning commission and board of supervisors appeal process, it wouldn't change anything. We would just go through and do our due diligence. So, no, I...
Mr. Carroll, yeah. with the DARA situation down in Rochester, it was not approved by the planning commission, appealed to the board of supervisors, they turned DARA down. It went to the superior court, they turned, who ruled in favor of the county. It didn't go further because of a, not, wasn't that because of a threat of a lawsuit that they counted?
I'm not sure what NERA is. It's
referring to Keith DARA's project, Truck Village Drive.
Right.
Mine site, essentially. That was litigated and settled in county council or through council. I have much more to say about that. It was very contentious. And
it was settled?
There was an agreement arrived on.
Agreement arrived not to go forward with the appeal. Is that correct? You see, the public doesn't know these things. This is the problem, right?
Yeah.
It's all done in the past. We don't know about it.
It can't be discussed.
Well, right. Because the agreement is. It's just part of the agreement.
Without getting into all the details, essentially, he was to stop mining.
What?
We were closing the mine site. And to achieve that, there's an agreement that was made.
I think we all know how the game is played, okay? All you have to do is look at what happened to Roundup, and if you got into that one, you got to understand that. So totally, it's just unbelievable. It's cheaper to put $10 billion out there for people to pick against than to carry on that lawsuit. Same thing we're doing here. I think we fear that we can't afford to take a position that we've taken to another court because we can't afford to spend the money.
Yeah, without getting into the weeds, there are certain realities that unfortunately need to be considered.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, I could ask one question, and it's not maybe your department, but do you know if the county's doing anything to really alleviate the situation that Del Campo went through, either through economic stimulus of some kind?
No, I don't think that that's a county issue or concern.
What's that?
It's not a county issue or concern, it's negligence on their part. They're fraud with, yeah.
What's that?
It was fraud. County shouldn't have anything to do to
pay. No, I mean, now to what, how do we go to put 20 people back to work?
Just as a prime
Some
example
of them have been hired.
About my issue of Cal Fish and Wildlife. And this all transpired long before any of you were here, before any of you guys were sitting here. There are a couple of projects that came up out here in the Shasta Valley where that I went, even the first year I was on the Planning Commission, where California Department of Fish and Game at that time came back because we needed to go through everything in secret, look at all protected species, all plants, you name it. And they came back to a couple projects we had where it wasn't on a state, federal protected list, not even on a candidate list, nor on the state list. But the department came back and took the finding of a political organization, California Native Plant Society, that this plant is a rare find in Northern California. So therefore, all these protections need to take place. Nobody done any scientific research. I remember going round and around with county council and with the department head because they were going along with the recommendation from Cal Fish and Game at that time, that we needed to adopt that rule or that recommendation coming from the department. To me, that's completely wrong. If there hadn't been an analysis done, gone through the listing process on that species, that should have never been addressed in a planning package, ever. None of that comment should have ever come forward. I don't understand the rationale. So I've kind of been, that's been welling up in me for 23 years, and I just see it getting worse and worse and worse. where I'm looking for firm, fair, and consistent from the resource agencies, and I don't see that happening. And I mean, there's nothing you guys can do about it, but that's, you can understand my frustration with this stuff. Now, I'm the only one that I know of that has an incidental take permit federally, which is not listed right now for wolves, but it's going to be re-listed, both federally and state, for the take of a wolf. The only one for my daily operations on my property. Because we went through a federal safe harbor and a letter of consistent determination from the state to do that. And it just, it is what it is.
Any other comments?
Question for Mr. Dean. Last month, when Commissioner Lindler was here, we had brief discussion on building inspections, building inspector, times required to get permits done, etc. I had, which is kind of weird, because everything's so dang expensive right now and you can't get supplies, but apparently somebody's been sitting on supplies and able to build barns. The question that was posed to me, and I told him I would ask Mr. Dean, if an ag barn is being constructed that does not have power nor water to it, essentially a plain Jane pole barn, the building inspector typically comes out and inspects foundation if you're having to pour footings. When we built ours, came out again before we put the, well, drove by when we were putting the metal on to double check fasteners and whatnot for high winds between the purlings, the rafters, and the joists. Back when we built ours, wham bam, we had it done in 6 days. That's not the case now. The question that was posed to me is, since it is not a, I'll ask the question as they did. Since no one's working in the building and it's simply to store hay and equipment, can they put in a request for the building inspector to come by and sign off on it, go ahead and build it, and put hay and equipment in under it while they're waiting for the inspector to show up? Would they get in too much trouble? Since they understand that, yeah, if you're wiring, you've got a fuse box, you have water in, okay, you've got to go certain steps and wait. But this is a case where everything that the inspector's going to inspect can be inspected. Worst case scenario, what, they're going to red tag it that you can't occupy it, but it's not an occupiable building, right? I guess that's the question. I said, you know, I'll have to ask. Because they're wanting to get the barns built before the snow comes, but they're not confident they're going to be inspected in time.
But the inspection piece is not an issue.
Okay.
For anything, you know, we're hitting everywhere in the county twice a week.
Okay.
Haven't missed a beat all through COVID.
Okay.
Permitting process can be a different story. Yeah. But there are ag exemptions. You still need to get a permit.
Right.
And so forth. But if they're wanting to do construction, they need a foundation inspection, that can be achieved in a few days.
Okay. I will let them know. Because they were operating under this idea that once they got the permit, that there was going to be a long wait, and they just wanted to break ground, put it up, get the hay and equipment in, and sit back and wait for an inspection. So, okay, I will let them know.
Okay.
So what happened to this back when Bill Hoyer's a supervisor? I thought he got the building permit requirement removed for hay barns.
For certain sizes? I think there was a caveat. It was certain sizes.
I just remember them going through.
The engineering still has to be.
Yeah, you still have to get it engineered. What still triggers is if you have to, I believe it had to do with the footings for the poles. If you had to go, engineer spec said you had to go over a certain size, then you needed to permit beyond engineering. If you remained
under that, you were good. If you were in an area that was not a high wind threat, fine. But if you were, okay, then you do need to get an inspection. And that's why we ended up having to get an inspection on ours, because where it's located, we get high winds.
Anything else? I want to wish staff and your families and everyone a very happy Thanksgiving.
Love the turkey.
And therefore, this meeting stands adjourned.